20, needs a block, pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you for the next hour, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time here on Giants.com. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513 is the number to get in on the program. Also, all things social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Giants, and if you have any questions or comments about the show, we ask you to please include that hashtag Giants Chat. That's how we monitor the tweets for the show, and we will share them on air. First and foremost, Paul, as we said yesterday, a kind of awkward day in regard to scheduling here. Players got in a little bit later. Tom Coughlin met with the media a little bit later, around 3:15 yesterday, then practice, then players met with the media around 5:30. So a much later day than normal. Today, everything's kind of back on track and back back on schedule. But your thoughts on yesterday. What exactly did head coach Tom Coughlin communicate to the media for those who did miss that?
Well, first things first, David Boss is now on injured reserve because of a sore knee. And so the Giants have to go with Jim Cordell, the backup center, probably for the rest of the way. I would think that's the way the Giants are going to go. He's performed admirably well the last 3 weeks. So that's first. Boss is on IR. And the Giants had three guys who did not work yesterday. Brandon Jacobs, still nursing the sore hamstring. He thinks he's going to be fine this weekend to play the Philadelphia Eagles, but they're going to give him a little extra rest just to make sure that he's okay. Spencer Paysinger, the linebacker, has got a sore ankle. He did not work yesterday. And Sean Rogers came up with a sore knee the other day against Minnesota, so he did not work yesterday. Those are the three guys who were unable to practice. And Rogers is an interesting case because, Anita, I thought he was a beast against Minnesota. He had four quarterback hits, squashed Josh Freeman, and you know, to the point where Freeman now has a concussion and the Vikings are going to have to go back to Christian Ponder. May have been the best game that Rodgers has played all season. And by the way, he's played well. But boy, against Minnesota, he was even better than good. He was really good.
But keep in mind, going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, LeSean McCoy, a different running back than Adrian Peterson. LeSean McCoy kind of likes to turn those edges. He's a burner around the edges. And, of course, the way that Chip Kelly plays that high-octane offense that he brought over from Oregon, a much different offensive game plan where, you know, I feel that guys like Kiwi and Justin Tuck and of course, the linebacking crew are going to need a much larger role in this game in stopping LeSean McCoy.
Chip Kelly, the Eagles coach, said yesterday in the conference call with the Giants media that the biggest difference between this Giants team and the one that they played a month ago is middle linebacker John Beeson. And is it any surprise? The guy's got over 20 combined tackles the last 2 weeks since he's been inserted into the starting lineup after the trade from Carolina. He is a difference maker for this defense. He's able to get sideline to sideline. He has shown much more mobility and speed than anybody thought when he came off of those 2 years of injuries. And so I'm really curious, to be perfectly honest with you, given Shady McCoy's elusiveness, quickness, acceleration, I'm really curious to see how well Beeson matches up.
201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Also, in looking at some of the guys who did not participate, Brandon Jacobs, Spencer Paysinger, as you just discussed, Sean Rogers. Brandon Jacobs, we know that David Wilson, he's out, probably will be out for the next few weeks. He's waiting for, I guess, his follow-up with the doctor in regard to the spinal stenosis. But Brandon Jacobs, I mean, did you have an opportunity to talk to him yesterday, even though he did not participate in practice? Yesterday, any indication that maybe he will practice today, and what do you think his role is going to be for this Philadelphia Eagles game?
He feels very confident that he's going to be able to play in this game, but I do think that it's wise, given what happened last week when he was limited and then had a bit of an aggravation and then the trainers shut him down. I think it's wise for the Giants to give him as much time off this week as possible so that they don't see a repeat. What do they say about, you know, learn from your mistakes? Well, maybe it wasn't a great idea to have him out there practicing a little bit last week because that's what caused him to get shut down. So now, keep him on the sidelines. If they've got to get him out there once, maybe even for the walkthrough on Saturday, I would even consider just doing that to make sure that Jacobs is in the lineup. There's one thing, Anita, that we both know about Brandon Jacobs. This guy has such an intense dislike for NFC East rivals. You're going to want him on the field in Philadelphia Sunday. I mean, there's nobody else I'd want to have the ball than Brandon Jacobs. So whatever they've got to do to get him a helmet on Sunday, they've got to do.
As always on Thursday, we welcome in Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. Eric joins us every Thursday to kind of give us a sense of how the fans are feeling about the upcoming matchup. And Eric, curious exactly how your Big Blue Interactive, the message boards, the Giants finally got their first win against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. So for the first time, I guess, all season, was there a little bit more of a positive vibe on your site than before?
Hey, they won. I thought there would be, but I think people are still a little bit down. We're sitting here at near the end of October, and they just got their first win. So I think people feel a little bit relieved, but they also look at the game, and they recognize that had someone else other than Josh Freeman been playing quarterback and had the ball bounced a little bit differently, we might have had yet another loss. You know, there were a couple of fumbles that the Giants were lucky to have bounced right back to them. There was almost a pick six with Eli. So I think people feel better because it's always nice to have a win, but they also recognize that the level of competition that they face. Now, that being said, I do think the day after the win, some people sort of sat back a little bit more and did say, hey, you know what? The Giants held Adrian Peterson to, what was it, 28 yards. The pass rush did improve, even though they only had one sack. There were a lot of hits on the quarterback. They seemed to be becoming a little bit more physical up front. They didn't have a lot of rushing yards, but they kept at it, so the balance was there. And I thought one of the interesting things that people picked, you know, sort of talked about this week, too, was the fact that the game plan seemed to change a little bit. I can't recall a game in recent memory where the Giants threw so much to the running backs. You kind of wonder where that's been all along, given the state of the offensive line. But they threw to John Connor. They threw to Peyton Hillis, and even Michael Cox a little bit. So I think that made sense to a lot of fans, and they reacted positively to that as well.
Hey, Eric, I've got to ask you about John Beeson because I'm getting pounded on my Twitter account by fans who want to sign him to a long-term deal immediately. They don't even want to wait to see if he can finish the season injury-free. They want to just open up the vault and give him whatever he wants. I appreciate the fact that he's playing really well, and I know his contract is up at the end of the year. Are you seeing the same response on your board?
Oh, yeah, John Beeson's probably one of the top topics on the board right now. People love the fact, and I sort of agree with you. I have to, you know, admit that when they made this trade, I didn't care for it, given his injury history. In hindsight, it looks like I was dead wrong, if they can re-sign him. But, you know, if it was a seventh-round draft pick, it looks like a good deal. I thought, you know, coming off the Achilles, coming off the ACL, the fact that Jace Blackburn seemed to beat him out in Carolina. I thought, geez, we're getting damaged goods here. But I do agree with you, Paul. I think, you know, the debate on the boards this week has been good move if they can re-sign him and if he stays healthy. But they haven't had a linebacker playing this well in middle linebacker, maybe since Antonio Pierce left.
Oh,
so
no doubt.
The first two games have been great. But yeah, he's been a focal point. Obviously, some fans were very excited about Peyton Hillis, even though his production was somewhat limited. They liked what they saw from him in the passing game and the fact that he was able to get Eli Manning killed and blitz protection and so forth. And I think the one guy that's not getting a lot of press right now that I think has been doing a great job is John Connor.
I think
the fullback, as much as Beeson's been doing great, Connor has been a tremendous addition to the team. And I'm a big Henry Hanoski fan, but Connor may be, you know, vying for that fullback spot next year as well, too, because he's brought a level of physicality to the offense that was sorely needed, and it was nice to even see them throw the ball to him a little bit too. But to answer your question, Beeson's been getting a lot of love on the website this week.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about John Connor as well, Eric. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, you know, we talked much about Hakeem Nicks last year and all the trade rumors, which of course continue to swirl, and they will right up until the trade deadline. So I don't even want to go there. But I had him for 3 drops the other night against Minnesota, and even the NFL Network people asked me about him, like, what's wrong with him? How much conversation are you getting on the board about Hakeem Nicks, and are people so turned off by the subpar numbers he's put up that do you find they're more in favor of trying to trade him, or do people want to give him another shot to stick around?
Yeah, I think the two most popular subjects this week have been Beeson and him and Nicks. Nicks has been a popular subject for a few weeks now. It is interesting how fast fans can support or turn on a player, and the level of displeasure, let's put it, with Nicks right now is pretty high. I think it's displeasure mixed with confusion. We know that he had, you know, injured his finger, and we wonder if that has something to do with the drops. But he just doesn't seem to be the same confident player. I saw it speculated, I think, on the piece that you were talking about on NFL Network, too. Is his confidence an issue right now, given the contract? Maybe he's pressing a little bit. And I thought that made a lot of sense, because he just doesn't seem to be playing with a lot of confidence. Him and Eli don't seem to be on the same page. And that's frustrating to fans, because if they were connecting, obviously some of these games, I mean, the Minnesota game may have been put the rest a little earlier, and maybe some of the other games that they lost that were close earlier this year, the Giants might have gotten a win or two. So there is a level of frustration. Fans are, you know, are talking about, hey, maybe we can trade him. The thing about that is, you know, when someone's stock is down, you're not going to get much in a trade anyway. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. And teams are noticing that he's struggling a little bit too. So I don't know how much demand Hakeem Nicks would be in the trade market anyways. I'm hoping, as a lot of fans are hoping, that he just simply gets out of this funk, and he can help them, maybe ignite them on a second half run here a little bit. But he's been a very, very hot topic of conversation.
Again, we have Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, on with us. Last question for you, Eric, in regard to the fans. Obviously, because the Giants did win, there's now a glimmer of hope in regard to, well, yeah, exactly, the season's not over yet. And then breaking down the schedule heading into this week, you've got a Dallas Cowboys team that's on the road playing at Detroit. That's a very losable game for the Dallas Cowboys. And you've got the Washington Redskins that are on the road at Denver, and chances are Denver does not lose 2 games in a row with Peyton Manning at the helm. So with that being said, there's a chance that all 3 teams could lose and the Giants win, which obviously will give Big Blue Nation even more hope heading into the bye week, and then coming out of the bye week going up against an Oakland Raiders team that's just mediocre at best. So what's the vibe right now? Is there still hope with the fan base that this team could make a run and potentially maybe win this division?
It's split. You know, I think the true optimists recognize that there is a chance if some things break their way. People have to keep in mind that the Redskins were in horrible shape last year. I think they were 2-5 at one point, and they came back and won the division. And I'm reminded of the 1994 season where the Giants started off 3-0 and then lost 7 straight games, mm-hmm. and looked dead, and then came back and won 6 straight in a row. And the game that sort of started that was a really, really ugly game against the Houston Oilers. I think the Giants won something like 10-7. And similar to the Vikings game, that was a very ugly win, but it started something. So maybe they can change it around. But obviously, it all hinges on the Eagles game. I mean, this is as must as it gets. I mean, this is their season, and then every game after that's going to be their season. So I think people recognize that. The funny thing that Giants fans, the more pessimistic ones, are afraid of right now is the Giants might win just enough to keep their hopes up, and then break their hearts again one more time. So that's the sort of the vibe that's been going on. Is there are some optimists. There are some people who are saying, let's be frank, they just beat a bad football team. Let's not get too crazy here, and the Giants still have all these issues.
It's sunny out this morning. Don't bring the rain. Come on.
Yeah.
Right?
You asked me the question. I'm letting you know what the fans are talking about.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Eric Kennedy, you
can find him at owner. He's the owner of Big Blue Interactive. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the game, of course, on Sunday. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. I know we've got a full bank of calls. So, Paul, let's get right to it, and we're going to kick it off. First and foremost, Dominic calling in from Pennsylvania. Dominic, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
How
are
you doing, Dominic? Good to talk to you, man.
Oh, okay.
What was that?
I just wanted everybody to just kind of keep in mind that, you know, although we beat, you know, according to popular public opinion, that we beat a team who wasn't too great who didn't put up the competitive edge against us. You know, I think people are discounting the talent that we have on the team. You know, we haven't played up to par for whatever the multitude of reasons might be. But I think that, you know, some fans call in, you know, and I think that, you know, everybody's the number one Giants fan when we're doing really bad. But I'm not a fair weather fan. You know, I know the talent that we have. You know, there's, you know, obviously things that are gone wrong. I don't want to play the blame game or anything like that. But I am an optimist, and I know that as long as we get our stuff together on the offensive line, we should be okay. You know, there's talks about, you know, just rumors about talks or, I guess, imaginary trades for Adrian Peterson to give up Nick.
Don't even go there, Dominic.
I'm going there because I want the fans to stop feeding into that, you know, the rumors and all that stuff. Let's just keep the focus on what we have as a team. You know, people get, you know, swallowed into all of the garbage talk, and they don't understand how much they perpetuate the garbage talk and just give it more life, you know. So I want to encourage everybody to just think positive. You know, the road was dim. We got to win. Let's go into Philly. Let's do what we do best. You know, I do have the confidence in our team. Like I said, it's the offensive line. So, you know, we should win that game as long as the offensive line can block Eli some time to get the ball off. So I'd like you guys to just kind of comment on what I said. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. You're doing an excellent job.
Appreciate it.
Well, you know, it seems to me, Anita, the two things that the Giants did very, very well against Minnesota, and again, we understand subpar competition. They got to the quarterback. Again, 13 hits on Josh Freeman. I don't think they're going to get 13 hits on Michael Vick, but if they could get 8 or 9, that'd be a good place to start. And the other thing was, I thought the offensive line did a pretty darn decent job of keeping Eli clean. And part of that, no interceptions, because he was standing upright most of the night. Now, again, Minnesota dropped one easy one, maybe a second one you could argue as well. Those things are going to happen during the course of a season anyway. But when the trenches are performing better, the Giants will have a better chance to win. It's really very simple. We've talked about this now for 2 months. So what we saw last weekend, I don't know. Is the game they played, I'm going to ask you, the game they played Monday against a poor Vikings team, is that performance good enough to beat Philadelphia, or do they have to be better? I think they need to be better.
Are you kidding me?
I think they need to be better.
Is that a true question? Is that a legitimate question?
How much better? How much better do they have to beat Philly?
A lot better.
A lot better?
Are you kidding me? Did you watch that Minnesota Vikings game? They had no quarterback. Josh Freeman could not even complete a pass to open wide receivers.
Understood.
You're talking night and day when it comes to what Minnesota put on the field compared to what the Giants are going to go up against the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, so what
with
do
Michael
the Giants,
Vick back.
What do the Giants need to do better than what they did the other night to win this game? Seriously, I'm asking you a question. What do they need to do better? I think they need to run the ball better.
But I don't.
Right?
Okay, but time out. I don't think you can compare the two, though, Paul. You're talking apples and oranges. They're two different teams. They're two different offensive schemes.
I'm not talking about the opponent. I'm talking about how well the Giants performed within their own framework. The pass rush was good. And if they can get that kind of rush out of Michael Vick, I think they've got a chance, a real good chance, to win the game.
Okay, but Josh Freeman was a deer in headlights.
Absolutely.
Michael Vick, once he feels that pocket collapse, Michael Vick is taking off.
Well, that's the problem. He's
so you can't,
he's elusive. I don't know that they're going to hit him. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now.
I don't think you can. You can't even compare these two teams and compare to how the Giants played against Minnesota and what they. It's night and day.
Okay. I just think that I liked a lot of what I saw the other night, and if they can repeat some of those aspects, they'll be in decent shape, but they need to run the ball a lot better than they did against the Vikings if they're going to beat Philadelphia.
Well, hopefully Brandon Jacobs is back.
That's why I keep saying it's important to get him in the lineup again.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe, welcome.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Joe.
No, my name is Gerald. They got my name wrong. Gerald.
Gerald, okay. Hello.
How you doing?
We're good.
Basically, I want to talk about the win. I think it was a great win. It's a start. I mean, it's nothing to get really all crazy about, but it's a start. And I think for the team morale, it will actually give them a better chance. Hopefully next week to keep it going. I think that against the Eagles, it's a more winnable game. That's just my own opinion. I feel like a few weeks back, we could have beat them if a couple of calls went our way.
Well, so, let's refer to that Philadelphia game here at MetLife Stadium back on October 6th. Now, what we know is it was a 22-21 Philadelphia lead early in the fourth quarter when Eli got hit in the head, ball flutters, gets intercepted, and then right from there, the Eagles get a touchdown pass out of Foles, and then basically
right.
The horse is out of the barn, and the Giants get munched 36-21. Okay?
Right.
That's the recap. Now, let me ask you this, and maybe this is a better question for you too, Anita, in mm-hmm. terms of what the Giants need to do better. When Chip Kelly says that John Beeson is a big difference maker on this Giants defense and this Giants team compared to the one they just played, that may be the real key here to the Giants pulling off a win. Yeah, because Beeson has been a beast, and I'm not so sure that Michael Vick runs for 70-something yards, including that 134-yard scramble up the middle, if John Beeson's playing middle linebacker. Is that fair?
I agree, because Beeson, he's a sideline-to-sideline type of player, and, I mean, he's very, very elusive. So, that being said, I think that the Giants have a way better shot at winning on Sunday.
Well, I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anita, so would you agree with that? Beeson against Vic now becomes a much more important matchup than anybody else that the Giants have on the field.
How long has Beeson been here?
He's been here only 3 weeks.
Okay, so the Giants acquired him. His first game was against Chicago, but he just played special teams, right? He didn't really...
Correct.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. He played special teams against Philadelphia.
Oh,
didn't
so
take any snaps until the Bears game.
So he was here when they played.
Was here, but did not play.
Okay.
So that's a factor to consider. If you're Michael Vick, you need to be aware that hey, you know what? They got some guy now who can run with me.
You need to be aware of that. But typically, in the past, how has Perry Field played Michael Vick?
Well, the whole deal with them is that they've tried to contain the pocket, but then Vic takes off in the front of the pocket. That's where your middle linebacker needs to make sure he's not giving him that gap.
But hasn't Perry Fuel shadowed him with a Jaquan Williams?
Has done that in the past. Not always. He did that 2 years ago when Jaquan was healthy. And then when Jaquan got hurt last year, they scrapped that idea because he couldn't do it. And then the other day when they played Philly, they didn't do it either. I don't know. Do they go back to that, or do they go with Beeson because Beeson is more of your sturdier type middle linebacker who can not only, he's got the speed to keep up with Vic, but he also can deal with McCoy.
Isn't Perry Fuel available to the media today?
He is.
Okay, maybe that's a question that you pose for him.
That's a good one.
201-939-4513. All things Big Blue. That's right, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you till around 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, all things social media at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for any comments or questions on Twitter. If you want to pull that up and just see if there's anything good that's come our way, we will share.
I just thought of something. How about they play nickel package with Beeson and Williams on the field together as the two linebackers in that 4-2-5 alignment?
I say you put down your headsets and you walk upstairs into Perry Fuel's office and you share that with him right now, Paul Dottino. let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
You know, folks, I spend hours every night thinking about things like this. I have severe, severe problems.
Yes, you do. Mike, welcome.
Good, how are you? I was wondering, when Jacobs and Hillis are on the field together, who do you think they're more likely to use in short yardage?
Well, I don't necessarily think they're going to be on the field together. We had some calls about this yesterday, and I said to Anita, if I'm the Giants, I don't really want them both on the field together because that means John Connor's got to come off the field. John Connor's played too well for this team to take him and put him on the bench. I mean, you understand, when you put a guy on, somebody's got to come off. I don't want John Connor off the field in short yardage. I want him out there. You follow?
Yes. All right, thank you.
All right.
Again, 201-939-4513. I know that, again, we've got a number of calls on. We're going to rock and roll with you till 10:30 today. We go to Lynn. You know what I always say about Lynn? Never a complete show without Lynn.
There you go.
Calling him from Columbia, Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. You're too kind, Anita. All I can say is when I opened up the newspaper on Tuesday morning and checked the standings, and there was a one in the win column, I felt a lot better, guys. Even my wife said there was a mood change after we won that game the other night. But I am a realist. I mean, I'm looking forward. I want to see some more wins. We're going to take it, one game at a time. Let me say one thing about Knicks. Sign him today if you can. Sign him as soon as you can. I'm one guy who wants Akeem Knicks on this team in the future. I don't care about the last 3 weeks and the bad finger and the, off his fingertips type of thing. I want Akeem Knicks on this football team. Jerry, get it done.
Len, before you say anything else, how much do you want to pay him?
I want to give him, it's got to be a fair contract. I mean, I don't...
What's fair? He's got 27 catches and no touchdowns this year. What's fair?
Well, Paul, I think you got to go 5 years, right? I think it's got to be 5 years.
For a guy with his injury history.
Listen, Paul, I want Akeem Knicks on this football team. The first time I saw Akeem Knicks run a pass, and I'm going with my, first impression. I saw this guy run pass patterns. I said to myself, this guy's going to be a great player. I want Knicks on this team.
Len, I'd like to see him re-sign here too, but I have to tell you, this is going to be a very tricky negotiation because, he's going to want more than they want to pay, and B, he's coming off of what has now become a very disappointing contract year.
Yeah.
This is going to be a real sticky deal.
Okay, let me say one other thing on that subject, Paul, if I may.
Yeah.
Our biggest asset is Eli. Okay, I said this last week on another show in the morning here. If you line them off alphabetically, 53 players, put Kuhn and Brown on there, 55 players, line them off alphabetically, and you go down that list, stop where you think there's a guy who makes a difference each and every Sunday, and that's Eli. And we got to surround Eli. This guy, Knicks, is a talent.
Okay.
I mean, you got to protect your assets, Paul.
Lynn, we agree. I'd like to see him re-sign here, too. I just don't know what the numbers are going to be now because the season he's had has got to affect those numbers. And quite honestly, I'm not even sure now how much he can expect to get on the open market. If he really does go free agent, how many teams are going to be able to say, hey, we think he's worth $10 million a year after the season he's had?
Well,
I mean, that well, you know, that's interesting too. But move on from Knicks. I know you have something else.
Let me get back. Let me get back to the first comment that I made about sign him today, Jerry. Get it done. Based upon what we've said, and now we're going 360 here, Paul. Based upon what you just said, and I agree with that. How much is he going to get on the open market? Maybe starting to talk to his people today. It's a good time to do it, not at the end of the season. Hey, can I say one more thing about
sure
here about the Giants? The one thing that I've been impressed with in the last 3-4 weeks, and I've been calling for since way back in February, and you alluded to it with Sean Rogers. When Rogers falls on you, you remember it, and I think Big Hank falls into that category too.
Oh.
He's going to get to a point when he falls on you, you're going to remember it. The one thing I want to see going forward that's going to make a big difference, and I think the wins are going to come in bunches, Paul, if we stay physical. And Beeson has made a difference there. He said to those guys, get hats on Peterson. We know what Philadelphia is going to do. McCoy to the left, McCoy to the right, McCoy up to... It's going to be about McCoy. And if Vic wants to turn into a running back, I'm not advocating injury, Paul. I never do that.
Punish him.
Pound him. Pound him. Pound him. Make him remember. If there's one thing I want the NFL to remember before, when this season is over, when you play the Giants, you are going to get pounded. You're going to get pounded. I want those offensive linemen on these teams coming up in their rooms, they're sitting there watching film, saying to themselves, oh, man.
Okay.
The center and the two guards, we're going to get pounded. Keep up the physical nature of the game, Paul.
But that's something.
Anita,
but that's something. But Lynn, this is what the problem is. We haven't seen that type of physicality all season long.
Well, it's coming. We're starting to see it about Pierre Paul. This is going to be a big week for Pierre Paul. That left tackle in Philadelphia, that guy Peters, he's a good player, Paul.
Sure he is.
He's a good player.
Sure he is.
I want to see what Pierre Paul does this weekend against Peters. But I think it's coming, Paul.
All right, Lynn. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
Okay.
Anita, I know you wanted me to get to some of these Giants chat questions online, so let's do that. Mike Farmer from M. Farmer 20 says, defense was more than good enough performance to beat Philly. Offense was not. I guess he's talking about the Minnesota game. Carlos Colon, Losos Way 21, says, Giants definitely need to shore up the O-line. Running game, number one priority. Passing game will work itself out if you can run effectively. Alex Curtis says, it's Xander Caged is his Twitter name. Okay. Got to be hard for Vic to run with Hammy still bothering him. Don't think we'll be seeing Vic as mobile as we're used to. That's interesting because we talked about that a little bit yesterday off the air. That, you know, Vic is coming off, I guess it was 2.5 games he's missed now, because he strained his hammy right before the end of the first half against the Giants. What is his deal? He said the other day he wanted to test it out full blast before the Giants game, and he hadn't done that yet, and he was still thinking about that in his mind. I don't know. Who's to say? Here's the thing. Who's to say if Vic starts the game Sunday that he lasts for 4 quarters? You know, that's another interesting point, too. Coming off a hammy, you don't know that. He might take off on one of those runs, and all of a sudden he's grabbing his leg, and he's out.
And do me a favor, because I believe Nick Foles is not going to be active because of a concussion.
That's what we believe.
Right. So if you can, find out who the third-string quarterback is.
Well, Barkley, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's Barkley.
That's right. That's right. 201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls with you until 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to Steve calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. Great show. Listen, I'm total agreement with Lynn from Maryland. We got to hang out some time. But yeah, you know, I think the biggest issue, guys, is not necessarily the out players. I think we have great players, you know, and I love our organization. But I think the biggest change has really come, and what's going to continue to come from, is our balance, having balance on the offensive side of the board. I know there's a lot of things we could point out about the players, but one thing, being a D1 player, I could tell you about football is when you run the ball, you develop an attitude amongst your offensive linemen. And, you know, I really can't even begin to put the weight on, you know, on how much, you know, just imposing your will by the run. It doesn't matter how much success, but if you continue to run, I guess you could compare the analogy would be like to a boxer. It's one thing to be able to knock somebody out, and it's another thing to be able to control them with the jab and knock them out when you feel like it. You know, you just have a lot more confidence, and you build up a sense of aggression when you continue to pound somebody across the, you know, the line of scrimmage. You know, it just changes the whole mindset of the whole team. So I think, you know, what you're seeing right now is you're seeing our young players develop their confidence and develop an attitude. So I don't really think it's really a bunch of wholesale changes we need to continue to make. You know, especially Hakeem. I mean, I can't even tell you, I've been a Giants fan since 1976, maybe. And I tell you, just living Hakeem was just, oh, my gosh. I've never thought that would be a bigger mistake with a player we should, you know, we should let go than be Hakeem at this point. Oh, I know you want to talk about the money, and I don't care if it's 5 cents more than Cruz. Everybody got to make an adjustment, but we do need to do something to keep him here. And I just, you know, as far as Peyton Hillis, I think, you know, the verdict's not in on him as well either. So let's not get too gung-ho thinking he can do this, that, and the other. He was out there for a reason. I know you want to talk about the numbers with Hakeem's contract, but I just don't understand why you never bring up about Eli or some of the other players. Listen, you know, Hakeem, you know, he's gonna get it together. I don't really know what's, you know, going on. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of things you could say. Just the fact that he's probably surprised he's even getting the ball with as many times as he's wide open and there's nothing to go. So, yes, the offensive line has to play better. That's obvious. But, you know, I think we're going to get this win, guys. Thank y'all for letting me go on and on today. Anita, I would love to hear what you have to say about these guys' attitudes, because I think that's really the biggest thing is in balance, you know. You have to fear to run and keep your defenses from cheating, because that's been the only difference all year long. I've been screaming for it, even in our wins from last year. The time of possession. You can't win a game if you don't have the ball. So, guys, I'll listen off air. Great show. Let's go, Big Blue. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
I mean, this is something that we've talked about really all season long. You know, it starts with David Wilson. You know, is he an every down back? Is he a featured back in anyone's offense? Let alone the Giants. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Now next man up. Unfortunately, Andre Brown had a leg issue. He's going to be back week 10. We said, right? Week 10
for Oakland.
Week 10 for Oakland, Andre Brown will be back. Very excited for that because there is a added element of physicality. I like the way that Andre Brown runs the ball. So really excited to see Andre Brown come back in Week 10. Where we sit right now heading into this Philadelphia Eagles game is the fact that, you know, I think we saw a really great, you know, intense level of physicality increase when Brandon Jacobs got the opportunity to start for this team. And I think that's what's needed here. I like the addition of Peyton Hillis, even though, yeah, granted, you know, yards per carry, nothing to write home about. But I like the way that he ran the ball, and I like that the way that that Kevin Gilbride is utilizing John Connor. So, you've got to feel good, and there's a positive vibe heading into this Philadelphia game in regard to how this backfield is shaping up. I think there's hope there. But at the end of the day, what do we all say? It's one in the trenches. The offensive line really has to step up and create holes for all the running backs that are in this backfield. You know, unfortunately, you don't have backs in this backfield that have the ability to create for themselves. You just don't at the end of the day. So the offensive line needs to create holes. And so they need to get a hat on a hat. And we need to see more physicality from them heading into this Philadelphia Eagles. Paul, I know you do a lot of research. Where does Philadelphia rank in the NFL in regard to stopping the rush? They're kind of like middle of the pack, right?
Actually, their defense overall is not very good. They're in the bottom three in most categories. But, yeah, middle of the pack against the run. They aren't giving up. I had, according to my film study and stat study, they were giving up 5 yards a carry when teams are running toward the right side of their defensive line. So, you know, that's something that the Giants need to do in terms of attacking. Let's see, yards rushing, they're giving up 101 yards per game, which is 12th in the league. That's like their best defensive stat. All their other defensive stats are really not good at all. And you'd be looking at Fletcher Cox, their right defensive end, who apparently is not real good at cutting down the run. That's a guy that you want to run at. If you're the Giants, that would mean running behind Will Beattie as opposed to Justin Pugh if the Giants were going to go that way. The one thing that you said about the physicality of this running back core, can you imagine this? Now, we don't know what's going to happen with David Wilson, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility he winds up on injured reserve after going to see the doctor next month, okay, because of the neck injury. If that happens, you're looking at a backfield of Andre Brown, Brandon Jacobs, Peyton Hillis, John Connor at fullback. That's a lot of beef, a lot of muscle, and a lot of power. And then Michael Cox as the one change of pace speed guy with quicks. It's a very interesting makeup to a backfield. But it all comes down to, as you said, all of those guys need some room to go. None of those guys will create on their own. And right. That's a great point because people don't understand sometimes. They look at the running backs and they say, well, why aren't they doing more? Why don't they have more yards per carry? Why not? Why, well, the bottom line is some backs can kick it into high gear and create from the very moment they touch the ball. There are other backs, of which the Giants have a bunch of, who need that crease. And that's just the way it is.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with our calls. On with you for the next 15 minutes. We'll try to get everybody in and on. Let's go to Sean, calling in from New Jersey. Sean, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay.
I thought, I think that one of the keys for this upcoming Eagles game is going to be something the Giants didn't do very well in the first game, which is get off the field on third down. Because the one part of the game that stuck out to me that kind of was a big momentum swing was the third and 17 or long they had in the first half, and they kind of let them run for whatever it was, 19 or 20 yards. I thought that was a big.
You mean the Vic scramble that went for 34, right?
It was the one where Coughlin.
Yeah, he went for 34 directly up the middle because the Giants had a crack in the windshield, and he just took advantage of it.
Yeah, I see that a lot with the Giants, not even just in the Eagles game, just in general this year. They tend to give up a lot of long third downs or give up third downs in general.
Well, actually, you know what's strange about that?
What do you think causes that?
Let me give you a number here a second, because the Eagles are giving up a 49% third down conversion rate, which is like, if not the worst, second worst in the NFL. I mean, that is absolutely horrific. The Giants' third down conversion rate defensively, I've got that number here. I just want to look it up. Let's see here. Third down conversion rate, they're giving up 47%, which is not a whole lot better, which is why you're complaining about it, and I understand that. The thing that strikes me as most disturbing is that many times it is because they've allowed the quarterback to run for the first down. It's not necessarily even the throw downfield. It's not necessarily even the running back getting it. It's because they're doing everything they're supposed to do. They're covering up the field. They're taking care of all the targets. And then the quarterback decides to take off. And guess what? Nobody's around him for 15 yards. That gets very frustrating to watch.
Very true.
Yep.
I was just, that was all. Thanks for your opinion, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Matt in Delaware. Matt, welcome.
I just wanted to talk about the Hakimi Nicks trade, and I want to talk about Jerry Reese and his great accomplishments over the midseason at least. I just want to say we should trust in Jerry Reese as a general manager. I mean, you brought in John Breeson when we needed him. Great pickup. Peyton Hillis, awesome. I mean, for what we needed, he looked a little slow on Monday, but he'll get up to speed, I think. So I think that if whatever does happen with Hakeem Nicks, you got to just trust in Jerry Reese because, you know, he knows what he's doing, I guess.
All right, well, thanks for the call. Anita, let me ask you this. Does it concern you, or how much does it concern you, that Ruben Randle has had some trouble getting on the same page with Eli this year? And most fans seem to think that if Hakeem Nicks leaves, or if the Giants, you know, can't match his price or meet his price, that Randle is supposed to be that stud opposite Victor Cruz. Look, I've always thought Randle was a tremendous talent. I've always thought he could potentially fill that role. But based on what you've seen this year, are you confident he can do it?
I'd like to see a little bit more. I'm confident that he can do it. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency. And I don't know if a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's still young. This is only his second year in the NFL. I will tell you this. If you look back, I'm a true believer in history repeats itself. He's got great games against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know that the Philadelphia Eagles are, regardless of how bad everybody thinks Hakeem Nicks is playing, the Philadelphia Eagles are still going to double-team Hakeem Nicks. Victor Cruz is definitely going to get some consideration as well. What does that mean? Reuben Randle is going to be left wide open. He's going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage. And so I truly believe that Eli's going to go his way. I mean, we broke it down. Prior to last week's game, looking at all the targets, Victor Cruz has been targeted 60 times, Hakeem Nicks 46, and Reuben Randle 42. Out of Eli Manning's 15 interceptions, six of those interceptions, Reuben Randle was targeted. So Reuben Randle
And he ran the wrong route three times.
Yes, which you pretty much broke down. But regardless, where I'm going with this is the fact that Reuben Randle is a an important part of this offense. And regardless of Eli Manning and Reuben Randle not being on the same page, Eli understands the mismatch. And he's going to go to Reuben Randle on Sunday. I'm hoping and I'm anticipating Reuben Randle's going to have a big day on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, in the fantasy football programming that I'm going to be a part of on Sunday, I'm really going to blow up Reuben Randle. I mean, this is a guy that I'm going to tell fantasy football owners, this is a guy that you want on your roster and you want to start and you want to play, because I'm anticipating big things for him on Sunday.
He's had two of his best career games against Philly, catching two touchdowns in each of those games. So I'm with you on that. I think it's a very real possibility. Of course, he's got to make sure that he executes, which on occasion, as you say, consistency is a key word with him. He has not done. I think Eli's going to get him the ball in spots where he can make big plays. He's just got to finish him off.
Agreed. Let's go to Chris calling in from Houston, Texas. Wow. Chris, welcome.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I listen all the time. First time I have an opportunity to speak to you, Anita, and Paul.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I have a little laundry list that I'm going to want to take, listen to your comments off the air, but I appreciate what you said with Reuben Randle. I totally agree. I'm waiting for him to get more consistent, so I agree with that comment, Anita. As far as Hakeem Nicks, I don't agree with the gentleman that calls all the time from Maryland. I would never give him 5 years. Paul, you brought up a great point at what cost you would pay him. I was wrong. I thought he was the number one and not Cruz, and I was ready to see Cruz leave. I would trade him. I would trade him if they could get higher than what they think they could get. What is it, a prospective third-round pick if they lose him in free agency?
Well, there is a potential, given the amount of money that he may sign for elsewhere. And then, of course, you would assume he'll produce and live up to that contract. The mathematical formula the NFL uses is a mystery. They don't tell anybody what it is. But you could get as high as a third-round compensatory pick, depending upon the free agents you add and the free agents you lose. He would certainly be in the category of a primo free agent lost. So you would think it would lean more towards a potential third-round pick.
With that being said, I don't know the possibility of getting a second-round pick. I would trade him in a heartbeat for a second. Or I would trade him for a third and a very late round pick, because when you look at, and I want to just run through these real quick, when you look at our line and you look at Brewer and Mosley, especially Brewer, at what point do we say this was a big mistake? We have to address the offensive line for the long haul.
Yeah.
And that was the staple of our two previous Super Bowl winning teams, very good offensive lines there, especially the first one. At tight end, it's really heartbreaking to see the Kobe Fleeners and the other guy was Zach Ertz propelling very well. And those were people that won some draft boards.
Well, Eifert was very high on draft boards, too. You remember?
Eifert, I'm sorry. My bad. You know, and I look at that, and I see Brandon Myers. I don't have to say anything. I think we know. And Adrian Robinson, he is turning out to be the JPP of tight end based on what we've seen in the JPP this year and last year. And that's kind of scary. So I look at those two guys, and you know, from the tight end perspective, and we really, really need to address that as well as the offensive line. And I hate to say this, but David Wilson, my personal opinion, I think the most success he'll have is if he's a Darren Sproles, Devin Hester type player. I think that's a lot for a first-round pick. You expect more, but I just don't see it. I'm more optimistic with Michael Cox in a year or two if we could get a decent offensive line than I am with David Wilson. And to be quite frank with you also, it's disappointing seeing him doing the backflips and acting all happy. I kind of feel like, hey, lay low when you do well. You know, just be humble about it, like how Reuben Randall was after his touchdown last week. You know, don't act like a clown, you know. And those are my opinions, and I'll take your calls off the air and all your comments off the air, and I appreciate the time.
Well, you know, I think what you have to remember is that the Giants are going to have, I believe right now the number is 29 total free agents going into next year's going into the offseason. And at the moment, the estimation is that they're going to have $14 million under the cap, but we pretty much think that Chris Snee might retire. That's going to alter it. David Boss, who knows what's going to happen to him. That certainly is a situation that could alter their salary cap number as well. So moving forward, as you look at how you're going to retool this team, you do have a lot of roster spots to fill with only X number of dollars. So when you want to re-sign Akiem Nicks, that's going to come into play. Do you want to go out and try to get yourself another tight end and cut bait with Brandon Myers? That's going to come into play. Do you want to sign potentially a stud offensive lineman? They tried that route with David Boss, and it didn't work so well. So I'm of the opinion you really want to draft an offensive lineman in the first round like you did with Justin Pugh this year. Then the other problem is, quite honestly, you're going to have to worry about this pass rush. I mean, the Giants drafted DeMontre Moore this year, but they need to figure out if the three pass rushers that they have right now, JPP, Kiwanuka, and Tuck, they need to figure out what those guys are going to do, because it's going to be time to retool this pass rush too. There's a lot to be done. But hey, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Giants have a game against Philly on Sunday.
Let's go to Keith, calling in from Kentucky. Keith, welcome.
How you doing?
Okay.
I wanted to say I disagree with the last caller about David Wilson. I believe it's all the offensive line's fault. You know, part of it, besides the fumbles, why he's having a bad season. I mean, you can't run if they ain't going to block. That's just the bottom line. But about Akiem Nicks, I'm a big fan of his. I thought he was better than Victor Cruz, but it was only because he could catch the ball well. Whether you was on him or not, he was going to catch the ball. But he's not doing it this year. And Giants fans might need to come to the conclusion that we probably got the best out of him. We probably ain't going to get too much more out of him. If he goes somewhere else, he might have a spark. But I don't think he's going to do as well, you know. And I think we need to put that kind of money to pay people like a middle linebacker, a defensive end, a corner on the other side of Prince Mukamara, or maybe a good center, because I totally disagreed with Boss. Ever since he got there, our run game was kind of suspect. And I just really wanted to touch on that, and I wanted to hear y'all comments on really David Boss and how do y'all think he played while he's with the Giants.
Well, Keith, a few things. Number one, David Boss, I think all in all has been a big disappointment just for the fact that he really hasn't been able to stay on the field and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I don't think he really became the center that the Giants were expecting him to be when he came over from San Francisco. So, yeah, I do believe Boss has been a disappointment for this organization. That's number one. Number two, I have to disagree with you when it comes to David Wilson. And let me preface by saying there's no bigger David Wilson fan than me. I absolutely adore this young man, and I think he's got a great career in the NFL. But he's not a featured back. He's a complimentary back. He is a Darren Sproles. He is a Darren Sproles type runner, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't want to hear that.
But I believe that he's going to have a great career in the NFL. The problem here is that he needs to play in a system, or a system needs to be developed around him and what he can bring to the table. He's not a wiggle guy. He's not going to make guys miss. He needs an offensive line that's going to create holes for him. He's got immense speed. I would argue that he's probably one of the fastest guys in the NFL. But the guy needs open space to get that motor running. and he's not getting it here. And so the Giants do need to – I don't want to see David Wilson go anywhere. I mean, you could sit here and you can say, wow, David Wilson would be an absolute star stud with Chip Kelly in that Philadelphia Eagles offense. You know what? He probably would. I mean, when we hear about how David Wilson and Michael Cox, how when they play the when they come in practice and they play the scout team, how impressive these two guys look playing the LeSean McCoy role for them. So there's no doubt that he probably would have more, I guess, immediate success in that type of system, but that's not the way the Giants roll. So what do the Giants need to do in order to make David Wilson a success? They need a better offensive line. They need an offensive line that's going to create holes so that David Wilson can get through that first tier and really get into sixth gear and show the NFL just how much speed he has. So,
okay,
you know...
Hold on. Just one sec. So couldn't they switch schemes, not mid-season, but let's say next year, just kind of jump into next year, couldn't they switch schemes if he's that much better in that kind of scheme right there?
Yeah, but this is a scheme that's won two Super Bowls with Eli Manning. And then Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz and typically, let me say this, everybody's knocking Brandon Myers. Granted, okay, you know what, Brandon Myers isn't the best tight end in the NFL, but Brandon Myers has had to stay home. Brandon Myers has had to stay home and block because this offensive line is one of the worst in the NFL. So Brandon Myers is not, you know, he is a receiving tight end, and his role has had to change here because he's had to stay home. And then now you're asking him to do something that really he's not very good at. He's not good at blocking. So, you know, you're asking Kevin Gilbride to change a scheme that's won two Super Bowls as of late for the New York Football Giants just because of one guy? I mean, is that fair? Is that right? I don't think so.
It's not.
So, okay. I mean, Paul, please, and thank you for your call, Keith. Appreciate it. Paul, please jump in.
I have one small appendage to add to your comment.
Okay.
And that is, we talked about the necessity to change some things given the state that the Giants were in. And what did we see? More of that short passing game and the dump-offs last week to Peyton Hillis. He had 6 targets and caught 5 passes for 45 yards or 50 yards. Can I ask you, if David Wilson had caught those 5 check-down passes that Peyton Hillis had caught, you think he might have made 75 or 80 yards out of them just because of his quickness in the open space?
I'm sure.
So I think in one regard, what the caller said was right, in that I'd like to see that added to what the Giants do. I'm not saying they have to change everything, because I'm with you. I believe if you won 2 Super Bowls and had one of the better offenses of the last decade with Kevin Gilbride's playbook, you need to still stick to that core playbook. But how about throwing that new check down running back stuff to David Wilson when he gets healthy? Be okay with that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Let's go to John in Miami. We got 2 more callers on. We're gonna get to you before we hang up. So before we sign off. Let's go to John. John, welcome. If you can make it quick, what's your question or your comment?
Just a comment. I just want to say I love your show. I listen to it every day at work.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for making life a little easier around here. I just wanted to chime in on the special teams. Nobody's talking about that, and I'm concerned about the performance they had the other night, and I'm hoping they can shore that up and come up with a better performance against the Eagles, because they got some explosive players there.
Well, that's the 3rd time now that the Giants have allowed a punt return for a touchdown this season. That hasn't happened since 1959, and that was the year they had 38 punt returns against them. They've only had 20 against them this season, and they've already matched that total. So there's nothing good about that. Okay, and what Tom Coughlin is telling us is that the flow of the coverage units are not—it's not where it's supposed to be, because what's happening is if there's a good block or the return guy's making somebody miss, the other guys are supposed to be there in that lane to contain, and they're not. They're getting caught in the flow, going in the wrong direction, and so that needs to be fixed immediately.
It's a little worrisome because of the explosive nature of the Eagles. Offense and special teams, so we're hoping we can shore that up.
Well, thank you for the phone call, and again, thank you for listening to us at work. Let's take our last caller. We've got Chris calling in from New Jersey. Chris, make it a good one. Let's end strong today.
I'll try my best. Thanks, Anita and Paul, for squeezing me in. Real quick, I know, Anita, you mentioned about a feature back, and things have changed, obviously, years past now. You know, the carries are 12 to 15 times a game. You're not carrying the ball 25 times. And I'm relating this to David Wilson. Look about his height and weight. Maybe not his height like Tiki, but the weight, they're both 205. They're listed both at 205. And just a quick question to you, Paul. I mean, what's to say? Maybe David Wilson starts working with Joe Carini with doing some powerlifting like Tiki did, because when Tiki came into the league, he was also being called, you know, he's too small to be a featured back.
Right.
And back then, he was a true feature back. Well, now, he doesn't have to carry 30 carries.
I'm going to let you finish. You're right, though. Yeah. When Tiki came into the league, the projection was he was going to be a third down back and no more. You make a great point. And then the Giants decided, Jim Fassel, as a matter of fact, decided, you know what, he's the best we've got. Ron Dane's not going to work out. We're gonna ask Tiki to bulk up a little bit, and we're going to try to make him an every down back.
That's right. He was a third down back, and he ran back punts. I mean, he was back punts.
You're absolutely
so
right.
We got to get him with Joe Carini with the powerlifting in the offseason, and let's bulk him up a little bit, you know?
You know, the whole key to that is, of course, you have to be able to maintain your flexibility and your speed.
Sure.
Because if you bulk up and you lose that other stuff, well, now what have you done?
Hey,
you know what I mean?
If we can get another Tiki out of him, you know what? let's do it. Just do that whole routine.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. And appreciate everybody's participation today. It's been a good day. Keep in mind you've got Lance Meadow and John Schmelk that will be coming your way tomorrow, same time, 9:30 to 10:30, getting you ready for a fun week 8 of the NFL season. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Again, just a reminder of what's going on today. You've got practice around 11:45, right? Players are then made available.
Let's see. I want to get this right because, folks, I know they want to check in at Giants.com to get those bites. 11:55 to 1:45 is practice. Then we get Tom. Players are 1:50 to 2:35.
Perfect. Also want to remind you, fans, visit Giants.com at around 2:15 for a live Twitter chat. How about that? With linebacker John Beeson. That's great. You could submit questions by using the hashtag AskNY6. Again, hashtag AskNY6, a live Twitter chat with linebacker John Beeson. I know a lot of people are really excited with the fact that now he's a part of this team. Also, at 4 p.m. Eastern time today is Big Blue Hits Live. You can tune into that right here on Giants.com. And Prince Amukamara will be the guest on that show. Phone lines will be open, 201-939-4513. You want to get in, you've got questions for Prince. That would be the time to do it. So set your alarms, 4 p.m. Eastern time, Prince Amukamara on Big Blue Hits Live. Anything else?
Really good show today.
Yeah. Everybody have a great day at work, and talk to you soon.